called the book of Romans, starting at chapter 9 through 21. It's on page 987 of your Pew Bible if you care to follow along. And it reads, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take it, though, for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This ends.
Thank you, Tim. So, young people, let's leave the cynicism, because I'm never cynical, right? Let's leave the cynicism aside for just a moment, for like 2 minutes, and then you can pick it back up. It'll be there where you left it. How are you doing? Are you ready to go back to school? That's when I said leave the cynicism. How are you doing? Are you ready to go back to school? You're ready to go back to school?
I'm already back to school.
You're already back to school? So you're absolutely ready. So that's good. These young folks over here haven't been back to school yet. And if you know, you don't know this yet, but they've also got details have been sent to their parents about their school system, what they're going to do, how they start probably this week, even though they really start next week. It's kind of confusing how that works. But I'm leaving the cynicism to the side. Jacob, how are you feeling with this? Are you ready?
I'd say I am, because I want to interact with other human beings for a change.
You want to interact with other human beings, which I think if John Mark was in college, or not college, he was in high school, he'd be saying the same thing. At this point, he likes that, not having that. But I hear that. I get that. Sammy, how are you feeling about this?
I want to go back.
You want to go back? Yeah. You're ready to roll? Susie's gnawing on her lip. She's doing, she's thinking, I don't know. Susie, how are you feeling, my friend?
I'm just ready to get back, and I'm ready to get back on the schedule again.
Ready to get back on the schedule again.
I've just not been on the schedule since, March. So, I'm just ready.
You're ready. I do like that, though. I've not been on a schedule, she says, as you heard, since like March. It's probably March 16th, but I'm just guessing here, since I sort of know. And that's been difficult. Well, as you get ready to go back, whether you go back a couple of periods, I suppose, or situations with Zoom this week versus going into class next week, I don't know how that works for you yet. I know how it works for Emma. But I want to encourage you with some words that my father, who was always good for a quote, could offer. My father would quote Shakespeare, and he would say, "To thine own self be true. To thine own self be true." Dad was good at quotes. The most famous one that I have of him as living an hour south of Cleveland is he would say, "The Browns find new and inventive ways to lose, and it's fun to participate in." And I just shook my head. But to thine own self be true. To thine own self be true. This weekend, which you don't know this either, unless you were really super attentive when you got here. I mean really super attentive when you pulled in today. You would have noticed over here in the yard where the big brush pile is, there's now a bigger brush pile and something is on top of it. Well, Thursday night, right before the CNS open house, the good Lord opened up the heavens. And that piece, that very large tree limb became like a missile, shot off the tree it was on, right on the corner by the leaves in our house, took out the mast that the power is on for our house, took out the power, just bloated up, as they would say. And we had no power. Not the end of the world. John Mark literally ran down the street in his Crocs and his Nepal jacket. He knows we have a jacket for that, right? And it sort of reminded us of being there, being that wet. It's like, oh, this feels normal to us. But ran down there and was stopping traffic, and we were working on it. And we thought, okay, this is going to be fine. And we called the power company, and they do what they don't do. And it took a while. And I remember sitting there thinking, this is going to be great. I have a stack of books I can read. My cell phone is going to die on me. We don't have Wi-Fi. How will we survive? I will survive by reading the stack of books, which I need to read because I've been wanting to for a while. And instead of spending my time doing that, I spent my time trying to figure out how to make my cell phone work. To thine own self be true. I thought one way. I expected one way. If John Mark was here, he would tell you Dad was a little cranky. He was not, by the way, cranky. I was not at all cranky about it. But it occurred to me as Thursday rolled into Friday, and then Friday rolled into Friday night, and we were tired, and the generator that we had, that someone had graciously loaned us, was just chugging away, and we're sitting by candlelight until we don't warm the house anymore than it already is with the lights. It occurred to me, did I really know myself? I thought one way. I looked forward to one opportunity, like going back to class, and what I would get. And instead, I went the entire different direction. I wonder how you're going to handle your school year. You have expectations. You know what you want. You really want to be around people. I don't blame you. But as you do, remember who you are. To thine own self be true. And as you are true, God will be with you. And we pray that as you get ready to start this week, it will be a blessed week. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for these young people. We thank you for the promises to be with them, to be with us, and what it can mean for our lives as the church. Whether we start back to school this week, whether we continue with work obligations, whether we try to go about our normal everyday lives, help us, Lord, to be true to ourselves, that as we are true to ourselves, we are true to you, who is always and consistently at work in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. Today's text, if you choose to follow along with me in your pew Bibles, is way in the front. I got to dig it out here, my bookmark here, way in the front. It's on pages 47 and 48 of the pew Bible. It is Exodus 3, verses 1 through 15. Last week, we started looking at sort of how Moses got into the reeds and who had been forgotten in his story and what that meant for us. Now, God shows up in Moses' story. And so I encourage you to listen and hear God's word from Exodus 3, 1 to 15. It is found on page 47 and on to 48. It says, Moses was keeping the flock of his father Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was not burning, was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face from God, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cries because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Israel, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. The word of the Lord. Will you pray with me again? Gracious God, we are indeed thankful for this story, for what it means in the life of your children, what it means in our lives. As we stop and consider it, speak now to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this story. And I hope you appreciate it and you care for it. It touches your heart as well. But as I read it, and as we get to the part of the story where God reveals the name of God, and God sends Moses, I keep getting drawn all the way back to the very beginning of it. And the question that pops into my mind is always the same. What makes a place sacred or holy? What makes a place sacred or holy? If God is in all places, and if God is present in all moments throughout all of time and space, then what is it about what happens in Exodus 3, these verses, that causes God to state to Moses, the place you are standing is different from any other place where I am present. This is sacred, holy ground. That seems to me to be the primary question that needs our attention before we could even begin to think about the substance of Moses' call, how he pushes back on God, how God reveals more of himself to Moses. Before any of that, this seems to be where our passage begins today for us. Horeb, where this takes place, was a wasteland. It was a desert, a desolate spot south on the Sinai Peninsula, an abandoned area whose translation literally means glowing heat. Probably because it was so hot and so dry in that desert, in that region where Moses was at. There were few settlements in the biblical time period around that area. Nothing happens there. Moses is alone in that spot. And that's part of what makes our passage holy, I think, for us. We create sacred spaces all of the time in our lives. Some of them might just be like our own symbolic Mount Horeb, out of the way, isolated, emotionally hot, socially desolate, a place where we think we are alone. We have gone to where God is not so that we can have some time by ourselves. We've wandered there and something happens. I wonder if we can identify what makes those places, and they're different for everyone, what makes those places special? And by identifying those characteristics, by determining what makes a thing holy, we learn some truth. And further, we use that truth to access our community, because they too make sacred spaces in their own world, in their own lives. Before we can think about the events surrounding the bush specifically, and think specifically also about how God is labeled, let's do some serious thinking about what a sacred space is. Because like I've said, if you can comment on them, you can find them in your life, you can label them. If I stopped right now and went around and asked you, what's a sacred space, and you could find that, then you can begin to determine what the criteria is in your mind that caused you to label it that way. For some, the address of sacredness in our country is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Others might say it's just a seat of politics only. It's not that important. It's a difference of opinion there. Some would say sitting behind the Resolute desk can be, and I have to leave my cynicism aside, sacred. Or is it just a really old piece of furniture sitting in a room? That's up to you. There are criteria at work in your mind that says that's a sacred space, or that makes me roll my eyes when I think about it. There's something going on there, and you've determined it in your own minds. I remember another example, traveling to my mother's childhood home after both of my grandparents, finally went home to be with Jesus. Once that home was a sacred space, filled with memories, it had nostalgia. The power lines, the power poles outside of Middleburg Heights, Ohio, are very different from the straight up and down poles we have here. They're geometric. There's squares and triangles on these things. And so I always remember those blue poles were a sign that we were getting close to a place I labeled as special for some reason. I remember, right? I know the sacred stories of working with my grandfather, the taskmaster that he was, around the house while my sister helped grandma do things inside that seemed more fun at the time. But that last time, on that cloudy, cool day, there was something different there. Without them living there, without me seeing them down this very narrow driveway waving at us or sitting in their chairs in the back room, it was just a house that needed TLC. The paint was worn, the downspouting was bent, there were cracks where Grandpa would never have tolerated such cracks in the driveway. What had changed? The house was still there, but it was no longer sacred to me. And I got in the car and we drove away with my children thinking, that was, and if nothing else, anticlimactic. There is something in our minds that makes sacred spaces what they are. So as you think about Moses' story in Exodus 3, what bubbles up? How do you create them? When we first consult the text, specifically in the context of Christian worship, it is obviously first and foremost God's presence that makes the desolate desertscape of Mount Horeb different. The region where Moses took these flocks was harsh. It was unforgiving at first, but it becomes sacred and holy because God made a bush burn and not be consumed by the flame. Again, not just that God is present in all of creation, which we affirm, but God's presence in that way at that bush creates a sense of intimacy. Moses is drawn there. Our text even says he basically wanders in the vernacular. What's going on over there? Let's go take a look. He draws him in to an intimate moment that is outside of the normalcy of his day and his week. It's different. God is offering the very name of God in that place. It's a different spot. I am that I am. That presence takes what you and I think of as basic or ordinary and transforms it into something different that we will define in a new way. When Moses is commanded to take off his sandals, we quickly affirm that's because the presence of God is here in a powerful way, so it must be holy. As a theological descendant of Calvin, for another example for you, the items that we place, the worship committee places on this table several times a year, like on rally day will be the next time, might start out as just bread, juice, and wine. But when the words of institution are spoken, when God's presence is affirmed, and Christ's words of his final night on earth repeated, that symbol of just bread that was baked in someone's home, juice and wine that were poured into little cups, becomes sacred in our hearts and our lives. And it stops being bread and juice, and it becomes the very sacrament, a union, a communion with God on high. In another familial scripture reference, we see a man and a woman walking in a garden. That in itself is nothing more than potential intimacy of relationship. Until we read what? That God walks in the coolness with them, hand in hand, step for step. In that way, what was only a garden becomes paradise. Interestingly, the word for paradise comes from the word a walled garden, a protected space where God and humanity dwell. Today, when God's presence makes a bush burn and not be consumed, it is not a wildfire or an act of nature. It is a visual reminder, as the song says, that God is in this very room. God has been following Moses up until this point, has been working in his life since his birth, for this very moment, this very encounter. God's presence makes it sacred. It makes it different. Either in the garden, before a bush that does not burn, in a generational family's home, a harmony of heaven and earth happens when God shows up in that specific spot. What started out as a physical abnormality becomes more, because God chooses to be more there. Once we realize that God is present in certain spaces and in certain ways, then we're automatically, or at least we should be automatically, drawn to consider, why is this so? It's the application of what happens when we meet God. This question speaks about our ability to pay attention to what is happening before our hearts and our eyes, in a communal sense, in a personal sense, and in a theological sense as Christians. Paying attention in this way is not a one-off skill that you learn and duplicate. It is a constant, repeatable, teachable practice we live into and we share with others. We pay attention here differently when we're in here. We may not be called to remove our shoes this morning because we are standing before a bush that does not burn, but we are called to comment and find the sacred spaces of our lives and share that consistently. As someone wrote this week that I was reading, attention is the practice of loving study, of noticing, remembering minute particulars, of engaging the senses to register and cherish unique characteristic qualities, of digesting and savoring them, dwelling upon them. Do you hear phrases in that speak about taking time, exerting energy? It's not immediate, as this world always wants. We pay attention and we dwell there. Attention introduces us to the desire of dimension, of deepening, of enriching, of inspiring and revealing. Sacredness is what happens when we pay attention to God and God's presence in specific ways. And as we pay attention to them, we act differently because of them as Christians, because of that encounter. It is different from when we're attending a public event and the people around us build a sense of energy and passion around us. It is different from visiting a home with great memories that cloud and flood our minds. Sacredness happens when we create the room to notice that God is here, right here, in this moment with us. And because God is with us, that calls us to consider things in a whole new direction. Moses will protest, as you heard, over and over again, even as the text continues, to being called and encountered by God in this way. But that is less of an act of protest, I think, and more of an act of intimacy. He is willing, because he has paid attention to what is happening, to be this honest and vulnerable with God, even as God already knew he would probably do it. His response is different because the encounter is different. Moses is paying attention in a new way. He's dwelling here. Let me go see this bush. Could have just walked on. Maybe God would have lit up another bush and another bush and another bush until Moses is sort of surrounded and has to pay attention to what is happening. But that doesn't happen. He pays attention and he's intimate with God. And so this begins to make me wonder again as we go back to the beginning about how we create spaces. For example, instances, encounters with other people that we would say, this is sacred. This is holy. What's happening here is very different. For as I've said a numerous times, this physical action is something that COVID-19 has taken away in many instances. But what the virus cannot touch is the sense of being together in a way that facilitates a level of relational intimacy. And if you were listening, you heard your young people affirm it. They want to be with people. I wonder, does God invite you to places and moments such as this today? Not does God put you before a bush that doesn't burn. That would be pretty awesome to encounter God in that way. But I wonder about your daily life. Do you find places to be open, or that honest with God? To stand before God and to be vulnerable and to express yourself before God in a moment, in a place, if you paid that close of attention, that encounter can be shared, as it is the foundation of much of what we think and do as the church. Moses would be different because he was here in Exodus 3, that very moment. Yes, he would doubt. Yes, he will still sin. Yes, he will be punished and not be allowed to enter the promised land. Of course. But he is different because he was paying attention in that moment. He will be able to fall back upon this over and over again and dwell with God. I remember when God and I talked in this way. I wonder, what do you label as sacred? And how is God present there? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for being present in our lives. In a communal church sense, of course, but personally. In ways that touch us. Ways that challenge us. Ways that speak to us. That mold and shape us. As we dwell upon what makes these places special, help us to share that with the people around us. And as we share it with them, encounter them as you first encountered us. It's in Jesus' name we ask this together. Amen. In response to God's word, will you stand as you were able as we come together and confess in one voice what we have come to believe? Let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we continue to worship God and as we prepare to be the church in the ministry of intercession and in prayer, we are curious as the body of Christ, where have you seen God at work? Sorry, Amy?
Hi.
Hi.
Last week when I asked for prayers for my brother's family with the fires, I talked to my brother this week, and I said, I told him what I did, and he was okay with it. And sometimes he's not okay with religion, so, okay. Unfortunately. And so I said, I will send it to you when Reverend Derek sends it to me. So I did, and I said, you have to read down a bit, and I told him about where you see God work that whole thing.
Sure.
I heard, but his birthday this week, so I'm going to call him and ask him again, did you get it? See what he says. So, bring him a little closer.
That's right. Bring him a little closer to Jesus. Thank you, Amy, for sharing your story of talking with your brother this week. We pray that he does continue to grow closer to Jesus. Thank you. Where have you seen God at work? Janelle. I couldn't tell if that was a stretch or sort of just doing this sort of thing. I just couldn't tell. I wasn't sure. I hope you were raising your hand. You are now.
So this week with the Thursday, we had CNS orientation.
Yes. Absolutely. God was very present and very at work in the CNS orientation. They had candles strewn around the room, and it was good, and God was there. So we are glad to hear that enrollment is going back up. I will say, to add to that, as they finished the presentation in here, they had the classes socially distanced. When the director said, and we're trying to find a way to stay open so we can care for your children, there was an audible applause and a thank you that happened. And that's an extension of our ministry at the church, I think. Thanks for sharing with us, Janelle. We appreciate it. Where have you seen God at work? Bert, I saw you kind of lean in there. I was waiting for that hand. Yes, sir.
Yes, kind of simple, but it kind of relates to what you were talking about, paying attention.
Sure. Oh, no.
But she brought it from one garden and stuck it in. There's a fence around this garden.
Sure.
I can't get in there. But it's right in front of my face. It's green. It's the same color as the leaves. What are you talking about? Look at what? There, as big as day, wait long enough to pay attention long enough. There it is. There's a big green, gray man.
Thank you for sharing the story with us, Bert, about paying attention and finding something in your garden. I even started writing, got his first in there, as he's talking about his coming. He's going to get something in there, and then the story pivots, and God does something different. Thank you. Where have you seen God at work? Steve.
A thought that just occurred to me while I'm sitting here and listening to Janelle talk about Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie and I were coming over here to rehearse with Kathy for the song that we sang this morning. And what just hit me as I was sitting here, recapping what Janelle was explaining was, what a blessing it was to see this church parking lot absolutely full. And for a blessed purpose, a upbeat purpose. And it was just one of those moments where it was like, this is just great.
Absolutely.
And in this time where we're worried about gatherings again, it's great to see that CNS is going to go full bore.
Absolutely is. Thank you for sharing your story with us about seeing the blessings of the full parking lot. It was really cool to see the parking around the playground, and it was very special. It absolutely was. Where have you seen God at work? Julie.
So, as we were reading this morning, the prayer of praise and adoration, where we talked about God calling us to be together and be the hands and feet of Jesus all around the world. And it just hit me because this week I was in communication back and forth emails with Don Windham from ICN, and they're having a conference in Liberia, in Monrovia, to help teach and shepherd fathers into what it really means to be a father. God is a father to us, and they're going to be working through the churches there, and they've invited the people of Plains Church to be there with them, and it just makes me think about how we really as a congregation are the hands and feet of God.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing with us this morning your email and conversation with Don Windham. We and the Shepherding Conference on Father they're going to be doing in Liberia. We really are Christ's hands and feet, I agree, in the world. Where have you seen God at work? Hi, Joanne.
Well, most people here know that I've been here 4 years ago.
Yeah. We are glad you are here this morning, my friend, and we thank you for sharing the story of your old house as you've moved into a new home and the blessing and joy that it brought to seeing the new owners, spending some time in God's Word with them. That's wonderful. Where have you seen God at work? I thank you for sharing these stories with us as we come to our time of prayer. A few prayers have made their way to me or updates. David Cardillo has been in the hospital this past week with diverticulitis. He is back home now. They gave him a bunch of antibiotics, and he is home doing well. I mean, he was still a bit in pain, but continue to keep him and Marianne in our prayers this week. Joanne told me before the service, Nora is having some tests done tomorrow, just tomorrow, so please pray for Nora as she gets ready for those tests. My family and I ask you to keep Emma in your prayers. As you know, she has back issues from the way that her scoliosis is in her back. She's been working an obscene amount of hours for a 15-year-old. Her father's not impressed, but she's in a great deal of pain and doesn't sleep much because it hurts to do most everything for her. But in spite of that, Emma asked that you pray for a co-worker of hers. She said, Dad, will you remind them to pray for this person? I said, I certainly will, who is having some struggles in her own relationship with her husband. They're trying to have children, and it's not working well. And so they're having some real relational struggles there. So please pray for Emma's friend and for Emma this morning, that she gets back together, at least Emma does with her back. She's doing okay. She has a stiff upper lip with it, but if you look in her eyes, you can see that she hurts. Do you have joys and concerns to share today? We've seen a little conference going on there, Tim. Yes, sir.
I love it, baby. Boy, she's shy. Shosh, who is a Vita citizen. We have a friend, her name is Emily, and she's pregnant right now. She's in her second trimester, I believe, and it's not going well. And we're not sure what's going to happen, but it's not. She needs a little bit of touch of God's love.
We will keep Emily in our prayers as the pregnancy is not going well. And God will indeed, as you say, touch her life in her time of need, certainly. Are there others this morning? Bert?
Kristen, in her career search, she's diligently trying to find her niche. It's not that she's not looking at it, but she's not finding her niche.
We will keep Kristen in our prayers as she discerns what is God calling for her as her career. So it's hard work, it certainly is. Are there others today? Then let us be the church. Gracious God, we thank you for being at work in the life of Plains Presbyterian, for its friends and its families who can sense and feel you with them. We thank you that we have these stories to share, for they remind us continually of the sacred holy moments we have with you. Continue to open our eyes each day so that we may see new moments, and that as we see these moments, we might be able to share them with our families, with our neighbors, with our church community, with our co-workers, so that together we may draw ourselves closer to you. We pray for Nora today as she's getting ready for testing. Tomorrow we pray you be with her, provide good answers to that test. For David, as he is back home now following a hospitalization, we thank you that the doctors have been with him, that the antibiotics have worked. Continue to heal and restore his body today. For Emma's friend and her husband, as they struggle to get pregnant and struggle to start a family, Lord, be with them. Give them the grace and understanding that they need in this time. We think of Emily, whose own pregnancy is not going well. And as Tim so eloquently said, she needs a touch of your hand and your love. So give her that touch, that love that she needs. Please be with Emma today as her back hurts her so much. And I know that moving is hard for her. And yet she continues to try to serve and to be a service at work, in her family. Help her to rest well. Help her pain to subside. Help her mobility to increase today. Encourage her, as we know she hurts. Be with Kristen as she discerns where you are calling, what you are placing before her for her career. We know she will find that niche, as Bert has reminded us. Now help her to see it. And as she waits and as she seeks and as she goes, grant her the patience to do so. We pray continually for the ongoing ministry of this church, that as we are salt and light in our community, in a world that is so socially distant and relationally broken, Lord, help us to be agents of healing, peace, and reunion. And as we continue to worship you again, hear us, Lord, together as we offer you the prayer which you've taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.